Hey everybody, welcome to episode number 38 of the Film Club Podcast. My name is Jason.
My name's Anthony.
And my name is Chris.
Thanks for having yes, me. Yes,
okay, so
say
we got
a more
guest, Chris, who is going to have to speak up a little bit. But hey, Chris, thanks for joining us today. Chris is a lifelong friend of mine. Went to school since the first grade, so thanks for joining us. On this week's episode, we're going to be reviewing Old Boy and Disney's Frozen. So before we get started, well, what you guys been up to lately? Anything exciting, new going on in your lives?
Job offers here and there. That's about all. So yeah. Well,
that's good. That's exciting.
It is exciting.
So you're going to move to Canada?
Maybe.
Ah, that's scary.
It is scary.
That's scary.
The whole thing's scary.
That's crazy. Anything been up with you, Chris?
Nothing, just work.
How's that going?
Working. It sucks. I hate my job. I hate my life.
All right.
Yeah,
well,
it sucks. It's been working.
So I guess we'll just get right into it. I didn't really look up a synopsis, but I could do that really quick. The first movie we're going to be reviewing is Old Boy, which is a remake of a South Korean film from 2003. And the synopsis is... The cricket noise would be good. Obsessed with vengeance, a man sets out to find out why he was kidnapped and locked into solitary confinement for 20 years without reason. So what do you guys think of Spike Lee's Old Boy?
Go, Chris.
Chris, it's on you.
Well, honestly, I never saw the original one before.
Okay.
So coming in and, you know, it's kind of dark and kind of interesting, darky movie. I had high hopes because you guys told me about it. It's a very, very, really, really excellent movie. So I was like, okay, why not give it a shot?
Mm-hmm.
So I think it was pretty good. I mean, it was okay. I mean, you guys uh-huh. told me the original was the best. So I have to go out and watch the original movie yet.
Yeah.
So I have to check it out. And I'm trying to think of, you know, it was good.
Like, were you invested, like, in the mystery, I guess, of what happened to him?
Yeah, it all came together.
Okay.
It all came together in the end. It was surprising. I mean, at first I was like, what is going on? And then it kind of makes sense. I started putting the pieces together, the puzzles together, so it made sense.
Okay.
I mean, it's a pretty interesting movie. Okay. I would want to see it again.
Hmm.
So what context would Roy? What context would you?
Oh yeah, I'll jump in.
Were you with going into watching this movie?
Yeah. I'll join in right now. So I'm a big fan of the original, like huge fan. Like that movie is really, really like I bought into like all of your friends are just drooling at the mouth of the movie and everything. It's supposed to be this awesome movie, and I didn't really buy into that hype. It took me a long time to actually sit down and watch the film.
Uh-huh.
And surprisingly, after like, through all that time, still enjoyed the crap out of the movie, you know?
Yeah.
No one really spoiled anything, so that's really nice of everyone after all these years not really spoiling the film.
Mm-hmm.
Highly enjoyed that film. So knowing that, going into this one, I know it's going to be American, you know? It's just, there's everything about like, there's no way we can ingest a movie with subtitles, so there's no way an American audience can really fully enjoy the depth of this film with just giving it to us in subtitles. So
yeah.
There's no way we're going to get it there, so you accept the fact that it's a remake. I mean, it's an American filtered version of the film, the South Korean film.
Mm-hmm.
So I went in the film knowing that, and I wasn't disappointed. So, I mean, it's
so you
nothing... Yeah, it's nothing compared to the original,
mm-hmm.
but just every side note aside, you know what it is. It's easily digestible for us.
Okay.
And it is. I think the general audience will get the drift of the movie, and if they really, really want to like do a little more research into what this movie actually stands for and what it's like comes from,
yeah,
South
yeah.
Korea, I think they can maybe spike their interest and see the original.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't know if they'll all do that, but hey, they tried. And they did an okay job Americanizing the whole damn thing.
Yeah.
I thought you hated it, Roy.
Ah, what are you talking about? Everyone's
Roy
saying
was
that.
Like, Roy was looked like he was having a time of his life during that. May or may not had to do with alcohol, but yeah. Yeah, I mean, I guess I'll get into the context as well. Like, I'm a huge fan of the original. Like, it's one of my... I think it pretty much sits in my top five films, like, ever made. Like, that's how much I love it. So, I mean, so going into this film, I was, you know, initially when this was going to get remade, Steven Spielberg was attached to direct, and Will Smith was attached to star in it, you know, so I thought that just did not sound good at all. Because I just didn't see, like, that those people, you know, going where the original went. But, you know, as soon as I found out Spike Lee and Josh Brolin was attached, like, I like a lot of Spike Lee's films. Maybe not his films of late, but I like him as a filmmaker. At least he could bring something to the table. And I've always liked Josh Brolin. So, like, that was my mindset going into this one. I was actually kind of excited, which is kind of weird for me, seeing as how much I adore the original. And then even more context, we were drunk that night. The night, well, I mean, I was anyway. The night that I saw Old Boy, the remake, I was hazy on the details. Like, a lot of the plotting didn't make sense to me. I didn't see how an audience member who hasn't seen the original can make any sense of this. But that had nothing to do with the movie and had everything to do with the state that I was in. So today, you know, I had to go see the movie again because I didn't feel comfortable talking about it without having seen it again, you know, with a clear head. So saw it again today, and even though there's tons of problems, I think there's a lot of miscasting going on, and there's a lot of problems with the logic of the film, I still, like, enjoyed it somewhat, which is surprising, but hey, it's not a bad remake. Like, yep. I was showering earlier today. I'm thinking, like, how could I tear this film down? And I'm like, why? Like, there's nothing, like,
they stuck to their guns about in the film.
It. Yeah.
It's like they would go this way, and they know they're going to, like, they know they have us, the people that like the original. Yeah. And they know they have us on their coattails, and they're just like, either they can half-assedly own up to where they're going. They didn't. They didn't half-ass anything. They're just like, this is the way the movie goes. This is the way it's going to happen, and that's the way they do it. They commit to their bullshit.
Yeah, I mean, seriously. And it is bullshit because, like, when they first started talking about remaking the film, they're like, oh, we're gonna follow more closely to the graphic novel that everything's based on rather than the movie. Because I heard the original movie, you know, deviates from the graphic novel quite a bit. So, but, you know, seeing this film, no, you just remade a Korean film called Old Boy. Like, that's all you did, which is fine. Like, you did a good job of it, and you did deviate here and there, which kept it interesting enough for me. Like, you know, where, you know, changing up a little bit, even though those changes might have, you know, those changes were superficial, but I still found them interesting. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What do you think about Spike Lee's direction, his direction style, his odd camera angles? Do you like that?
Actually, seeing it today, I thought the cinematography was good, actually. It was really good. I think the movie is pretty good looking. I think that's more so in the beginning, though. Like, there's a lot of overhead shots when he's drunk and stuff like that. I really
enjoyed. That was pretty cool.
But
I didn't really notice a problem with it. When the whole cinematography isn't eye-catchable as far as throwing wrenches at it, I think you succeeded. Mm-hmm. It kept your audience into the movie, and that's exactly what they did. Maybe they didn't want to bust any borders with jaw-dropping visuals, but they told a story that was very, like... For an American remake, it sure did cover a lot of ground. I mean...
You know what was jaw-dropping?
What?
The action and the violence.
No, I didn't think it was.
No, it was pretty cool. I like the fighting styles, and, like, it's very, very violent, very, like, you know, intense.
I didn't realize how brutal. There's a scene where he beats up a group of guys on a football field. It's pretty brutal what he does to them.
It's pretty,
like,
bad.
He kills one of them for sure, or he paralyzes one of them for sure. But I don't know. Like, for me, the, you know, the scene where he decided, you know, Spike Lee decided to do his own version of the single cut hallway fight from the original. I mean, it was all right. I guess he added a vertical aspect to it, but other than that, like it's that seemed kind of thrown in. Like, hey, we need to let's do this because the original did this, and let me have my own take on it. I felt like it was an afterthought.
There was no way you were going to compete with that unless you completely remaked it frame for frame.
Yeah,
I mean, you would have to have the fight styles. You'd have to have people fatigued. You'd have to, and they would have to just fucking rip it off completely, and they didn't do that. Yeah. And it was just like an afterthought. They just said, like, oh, yeah, we can definitely film a fight scene that looks very... They went arcadey with it, too. They went, like, video game arcadey.
Yeah, when you said level 2 when we're watching the film, and that's exactly what I was thinking. Like, here we go again. Here's some final fight action.
Yep.
You know what reminds
Final fight action. Movie, that's a good one.
What was that, Chris?
You know what it reminds me of? That action movie, Cage Wars, like that? God, what's it called?
Cage.
It's like a Sega game. No, it's like a Sega game.
Streets of Rage?
It's like what they...
Streets of Rage,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Streets of Nicolas Cage.
Yeah,
Streets of Rage. But overall, it was very... I like it. Very, you know, very violent. It kept my interest.
What did you guys think of Charlotte Copley, the guy who played the kind of the main villain of the film? Like it's a very campy role. It's very flamboyant, which when I initially saw the film, I thought he's terrible. And in ways, I think he is terrible in the film.
Mm.
But seeing it today, like it kind of matches like maybe his upbringing, why he would like carry himself in that manner. He's very flamboyant.
Yeah.
He's very transsexual, I guess, I would say, in a way. Mm. Which is fine.
Pan-gender.
Pan-gender? Okay.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what did you guys think of him?
He didn't really put any spikes on me, like, no pun intended, Spike Lee. he didn't really, he didn't, like, showstop for me, but, I didn't really find anything too, like, alarming, I guess.
Uh-huh.
Just, it was there. Yeah. And that might be the alcohol talking.
Yeah, I mean, when I was watching, I was at first I was thinking, man, this guy's terrible. But I kind of warmed up to him by the end of the movie.
Yeah.
I was kind of like thinking, like why is he talking this way? Why is he acting this way? And I kind of was able to make sense of it in my own mind of why he would be that way. So it didn't bug me as much as it initially did when the first time I saw it. Like, because that wasn't one of the things I took away from my drunken viewing of the film was how terrible he was. So, I mean, I still think it was a miscasting in comparison to the original character, the original villain. Like, it's nowhere near as great. Mm-hmm. But I think that has a lot to do with motivations, I guess.
But that's the point. You can't give them an excuse on they couldn't write a good motivation.
Yeah,
That's not a good excuse.
Well, you know, like, where does film deviates? I mean, I would like to do a spoiler discussion if you guys want to at the end of the show.
Sure.
But, like, where it deviates, I think it affects the relationship that the main villain has with one of the characters, you know, in the story. So, we'll get into that later.
The camera isn't switching on audio.
Oh, yeah, I don't know why. It's me. Sorry. Continue. I'm not paying attention. All right.
Mm-hmm. What
Who's
it?
Up? Who's next?
What's up next?
Anything else you guys have to say about the film?
Go, Chris.
If you haven't seen it, go see it.
Very Jay Leno. Thanks, Jay. Leno.
What about you, Ryan? Anything else you have on it?
Jeez. I'm sure I have something. Let's talk about Samuel L. Jackson.
Oh, he's terrible.
He was in the film.
He was.
Yeah, I really don't like Samuel Jackson. I really don't think he's a great actor. He got lucky, but
to guess,
to me, he feels just like a parody of himself every time I see him in a movie.
That's pretty much what he's come down to.
Yeah.
Like when they gave him
the purple. This is weird, the visual style. I mean, whatever. They try to make him weird looking. It's like, oh, look at Sam Jackson looking like a weirdo.
Yeah.
But outside of that, there's nothing. Like,
he looks like
notes,
a character.
He's one
he
of
looks
the,
like. Oh, sorry.
No, you go ahead.
He looks like a character from the new Guardians of the Universe, the Marvel movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. He looks like a bad guy from there.
Yeah. And, I don't know. I guess another thing I wanted to bring up was, like, the imagery. Because, you know, when they initially said they were going to remake this, you know, and they were going to go close to the graphic novel, I wish they would have totally remade it. You know, like, I would compare it to Halloween. You know, like, Halloween's one of my favorite movies ever. It's my favorite mm-hmm. horror film of all time. So when I found out Rob Zombie was going to remake it, I was very angry about that, right?
But right.
That movie, I like half of that movie because, you know, Even though he kind of misinterprets what the character of Michael Myers is, you know, by trying to explain his backstory, like, at least he made his own film, you know? He made his mm-hmm. own version of Michael Myers for the first half of that film. You know, he tried to tell an origin story and stuff like that. And I appreciate that. Like, if you're going to remake something, just completely make it your own, you know? Like, don't repeat imagery, and, you know, that's what he does in the second half of that film, which is why I think the film's bad, because he does that. But everything before that, I enjoyed, so I was kind of just hoping, like, this would be along the same lines, you know, and there was stuff like him, you know, trying to recreate, you know, the single take fight scene, and just other visual things that I felt like, oh, just make it your own if you're gonna, just take the idea and then put your own imagery to it, I guess. So that kind of bugged me, but... It was still well done. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it says I'll probably see it again. I mean, it probably well warrants another view after that Crazy Rudy night.
Yeah, I would probably see the original.
You said Crazy Rudy night?
Rudy.
What does it have to do with Rudy?
What is
everything. Yeah. It was his birthday.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, makes sense, though.
It should.
All right. Any other points you guys going to make on the film?
No, I'm probably going to go catch the original one then.
I feel like there should be more, but, you know.
I said maybe... what I had to say. I enjoyed Brolin a lot in the lead role. I thought the imprisonment section of the film was really strong.
Oh, yeah, those are so good. There you go.
Thought it
was
you did
really some talking
strong.
Points, man.
Yeah.
Those are really good.
Yeah. So, oh, I mean, man. that was my favorite section of the film, for sure.
Oh, yes.
Like, when I first watched it, I wasn't getting, like, that emotional impact from it, you know, when he finds out what happened to his wife and stuff like that. But seeing it today, like, I definitely felt that through his character. So, I really enjoyed him, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll get into the logic later, but, I mean, I definitely have problems with... how Elizabeth Olsen's character becomes, like, involved in the film.
Mm.
Like, it felt forced to me.
Yeah.
It didn't feel natural. I mean, I'll get into the details of that later, yeah.
The other one was so way more natural, you know?
Yeah.
Just, like, it was just so
Well, there,
fluid.
There was a device in place so for that film that it just... made it make sense, you know?
Yes.
Like, this one, it was just based on assumptions and coincidences of, you know, hopefully this will happen. But,
mm-hmm.
yeah, I don't want to ruin it, so... But I have plenty to say, so I'll save that for the end of the episode, for sure. Yeah.
Yes.
So I guess my overall thoughts, I was cautiously optimistic about this one. I think it's a decent remake, aside from, you know, logical problems and a lot of miscasting, I think. But I still got some enjoyment out of it, which is a surprise for me. So I'd give it a 3 out of 5.
Wow. So nothing like the original, complete American remake, still enjoyed the crap out of it. Acting was pretty on point. The training portion was great. Our imprisonment portion was great. Didn't really have too much problems with it. I'm going to go with 3.5 for a remake anyway.
Cool.
That's all things aside.
All right, Chris, final thoughts?
Final thoughts. Good movie. Good action scenes. I mean, I would say I haven't seen the original, so I really can't tell you. I mean, which one is better? If you know, could you guys tell me the original is the masterpiece?
Yeah.
But I mean, it made sense. Everything came in point. I wasn't lost. You know how some movies are like all over the place. It was just all connected. It yeah. felt connected. Yeah.
That's good.
And yeah, it's just, you know, really, if you're looking for an action movie, go see it.
All right, what's your rating out of 5?
1 to 5.
Yeah.
1 to 5 or 1 to 4?
0 to 5.
Oh, 0 to 5. I'm probably going to say, I don't know, 3.
3 out of 5.
Yeah, 3 out of 5.
All right, cool. Sounds good. So stalling again, as you can see. So next up, we're going to be reviewing Disney's return to musicals, in a way.
Yeah.
The film's called Frozen.
I didn't see it.
Oh, no.
You saw it, Roy?
Yeah, I did.
Okay, so Frozen, synopsis. Fearless optimist Anna teams up with Kristoff in an epic journey encountering Everest-like conditions and a hilarious snowman named Olaf in a race to find Anna's sister Elsa, whose icy powers have trapped the kingdom in eternal winter. So, Roy, what did you think of Frozen?
I enjoyed it. The first half was kind of, like, iffy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. There's something that wasn't clicking. Yeah. I remember Alyssa is banished from the land. She's just, like, having her empowerment walk, and she's walking away. I'm like, all right. And everything was good after that. I mean, like, the movie just took a shift to, like, way better. Like, comedy started, like, increasing. I mean, I think they had to set up the universe for a long time.
Yeah, yeah.
So you got a good, like, for, I don't remember how long it is, but so you get a good half of the film to set up a plot. So not so heavy on humor.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of it is just freaking, like, the jokes start piling up and the punchlines are like, they'll trap kids and parents and adults as well. So I brought my little niece and it was really funny. So seeing the kids enjoy it, it's great.
So you're what was that, Chris?
So you're trying to say the first 30 minutes sucked?
Well, it's a little bit longer than an hour.
I know. I'm just kidding with you. Yeah. I didn't see it. I wanted to see it, but when JC told me it was just a lot of musical, I'm not a musical fan person, so.
Yeah.
It interweaves pretty well.
Yeah. I mean, it was like in the second half, it felt like it was less music heavy, I guess.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the film as a whole, but I enjoyed the first half from a musical perspective, I guess. Because I really enjoyed the songs, the first couple songs.
Mm-hmm.
But nothing else past that was really too memorable, which was a little bit disappointing
from
a music perspective. But the story,
Olaf song.
What was that?
Olaf song.
I'll get into Olaf. Or if you want, we get into Olaf now.
Whatever.
I was not a big fan of Olaf. I thought he was funny. He was funny at points, but I know this is like a nitpicky thing. But actually, Cynthia pointed it out. Like, before we had seen Frozen, like, she mentioned the fact that he seemed kind of off, right? And seeing him in the film, he felt like, design-wise, aesthetically, like, he didn't belong in that movie for some reason.
Oh, yeah.
So, I don't know. That bugged
me. He's a kid's dream.
Yeah, he looked like he was thrown in as an afterthought. Like, maybe he wasn't even in the movie to be, like, initially, and then he was just put in there. I mean,
that's a good point.
Not to say I hated Olaf. Olaf was fine. But I just felt like aesthetically he didn't fit with the film. Yeah.
Who's Olaf?
Olaf's the snowman.
Olaf is the snowman.
Yeah. But I really enjoyed the story. Like,
yeah.
I really like how they play with expectations. Like, there's a part in the film where Alyssa kind of meets a guy and she falls head over heels for him, and I was thinking, this is retarded. Like, why do all these movies have to do this?
And then it goes against the grain of every single Disney movie.
Yeah.
And you know what? It goes against the grain of every fucking real movie too.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
The Departed. Everyone falls in love with that caseworker just by looking at her. You know, Matt Damon's like, I love you. And then,
I like how we brought Departed into the Frozen conversation, which is brilliant.
And then Affleck, he looks at her and like, you got my case? you got my heart. So I'm just like, they do it in real life too, man.
It's Vera Farmiga. How could you blame
people,
him?
People fall in love all the time. Yeah, and Disney is not the only one to blame.
Yeah,
so the
sure.
fact that they bring it to light and make it a core issue in the film makes it profound.
Yeah, for sure. Like, that was my favorite thing about the film, that they played with expectations. And then, of course, the story. Like, I mean, there is kind of, like, a love triangle going on in the film, but ultimately ends up being about the sisters, and, like, that's what I loved about it. That's, at the core, that's what it was about. And it's just something different, and that's enough, like, you know, to recommend it, because it's something new. It's something, you know, they're, like you said, they're commentating on things that they've done in the past, and that's just refreshing to see. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I always talk about this. I always get, I mean, yeah, you said all the films, like, a lot of movies do this, which they do, yeah. But that's why that's why I hate the Little Mermaid, man.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's like this woman meets this guy, she's ready to give up who she is, like, physically, doesn't want to be a mermaid anymore. She wants to be a human and just kind of like totally abandon her family for this guy she just met. So,
yeah,
like, those are just
a
lot of issues with those films
and
with the message, I guess, that they're trying to deliver,
right?
Yeah,
which there was this is a segue if you can bring my screen to as the main screen.
Yeah,
go ahead.
So, a good segue for women in movies. So since we're on the topic where women just usually fall in look, or men fall in look, and that's the whole plot for them, is looking, being looked at by a guy, or the girl looks at the guy, and that's it. And that's the prime reason they're in the role. This is a really interesting TED Talk that came out a couple months ago. Okay. And the whole premise was the fact that he showed his kids Star Wars. He showed it to his kid, his son, who's much mm-hmm. younger than his daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, this is what I learned from showing my kid Star Wars, and it's not good. And he talked about the female roles are awful in Star Wars. So he developed some test. I don't think it's his test. He just found it. So for women in movies, and it's literally, we can talk about it for this film. One, are there at least two women? In this film, there obviously is.
Yes.
So they passed the first one. Two.
There's about two.
They talk to each other. They have, because they're sisters, so that's good. We got two.
Yeah.
And we got three here about something other than a man.
Yep.
Yeah, they did. So
yeah.
we have room for strong character development as far as females go.
Great success.
And yeah, great success. And our fellow friend of ours, Laura Lopez, also pointed out that this test can be applied to minorities in movies too, because it gets really rough when minorities are in a film, and do they talk to each other? You know, does that one seem forced? Are there at least two of them, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And did they talk about something other than like the topic of like love interests? So, yeah, I don't know how to pull this off.
No, you got it. You're off.
I'm off. Good.
Back to you. Yeah.
How do I turn that part off? Yeah, I'm good.
Yeah, I pretty much exhausted my points on the film. I really enjoyed it. Yeah.
Without good. Getting into the spoilers,
yeah.
Don't want to spoil all you Disney diehards out there.
Yeah.
In the same light, it's just one of those, you were saying, plays with your expectations, so yeah. It definitely does. And that's awesome.
Yeah, and not like, only the love thing, there's other, you know, like you said,
there's
other spoiler territory where it does deviate, and I thought that was interesting.
Yeah.
I was Disney legitimately film. Surprised by that, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's for the, like, almost for, like, a first-timer for this film, or a first-timer in, like, I think we're beating a dead horse at this point, but it's still a new topic. The fact that Disney can break the fourth wall and say, have the characters become self-aware and say, you just met him? You just met him and you married him, you know?
Yeah.
And that's breaking the whole boundary that most films that we ingest all the freaking time don't even address at all.
Yeah, for sure.
So,
Roy, when did you see the movie? When did you go?
Thanksgiving.
Oh, you saw Thanksgiving. Okay.
Thanksgiving Day.
Cool. Anything else on it, Roy? You got?
I think I'm good.
All right. Well, I enjoyed it. I wish there was a little bit more memorable music. But aside from that, enjoyed the story. Really enjoyed the tale between these two sisters. And I enjoyed that it played up the expectations. So I'd give it a 3.5 out of 5.
Yeah. This film's good. It's funny. It takes a different spin on every, not only Disneyland stereotypes, but it goes into real cinema stereotypes. And, like, the women cannot have a role that's beyond falling in look with. It questions the whole factor of women in movies, and that's great that a cartoon has to address the, or a 3D animation has to address these issues. It's a bold move for Disney.
Yeah, for sure.
I give it a, I think you made a good point with the music not being too memorable. Going into lines of, I'm just going to give it a 3.5. It doesn't really deserve the 4.
Okay.
But, great points.
Thanks.
Another 3.5.
All right, well, moving on. We're going to talk about what we watched. If you guys have anything you've seen recently you'd like to talk about,
give me a minute.
Feel free. Do you want to start, Chris?
Yeah, I went to go see over the weekend Homefront.
Cool.
With Jason Statham, James Franco.
How was it?
You know what? There wasn't that many action. There wasn't a lot of action scenes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, James Franco wasn't. He wasn't the. He didn't have a big role in that movie. I mean, it's not your typical Jason Statham, like, you know, fly through walls, you know, like jump buildings and
like martial arts, like
martial arts shit, nothing like that. Nothing like that. So, any of your Jason Statham fans who's used to his what you call it? What's some of Jason Statham movies?
Transporter, Crank.
Transporter. Nothing like that. Nothing like that. So, you know, but I was expecting a 2-hour movie. For real.
So Chris is infamously opposed to long running times.
Yeah.
I am too. Oh my God. I got into that the other day with a friend.
Yeah, I mean, no, I'm opposed to like every movie feeling the need to be 2.5 hours long. But if it's 2 hours,
every movie has to just borderline be 3 hours long. If you can't tell a story that's pretty much can be put in a children's book, if you can't succeed at that in like a reasonable time frame, I don't think you get all the credit.
It's definitely enjoyable to see a film that's a nice, you know, a little brisk 90-minute film, like. That's,
heck yeah!
That is
Gravity.
Good.
Gravity. Good Gravity. Segue.
Fuck
good
Gravity, segue. But yes, good.
That is excellent segue.
A movie shouldn't be 3 hours long.
Never.
You're right.
So what is So what else? Feelings on Homefront.
I don't know if you'll like it.
I'm never gonna see it in my lifetime. So don't worry. You don't have to recommend it to me.
I know the critics gave it bad reviews. They gave it like 40 out of 100.
Okay.
Yeah, so I mean, it's one of those movies that's, I mean, I wouldn't see it again. It's just, I think it was just a waste of like, a waste of James Franco.
Well, he does like these bizarre movies. Like I told you, like my mom watches her favorite soap opera is General Hospital.
Yeah,
and he's
that.
A character on that show. It's just strange. I mean, you know, which, like, me and Chris talked about this, but yeah, that's like the intrigue of him as an actor. Like, he just does these bizarre things every now and then. And you're like, why are you even a part of this? It's like, and where the hell do you find the time to be a part of this stuff? But it's definitely weird. Yeah.
I mean, but I know you're not a Jason Franco. I mean, Jason Franco, a Jason Satan fan.
Jason I was a Statham. Huge fan of Snatch. Outside of that, I haven't explored any of Jason Statham's roles. Like, I haven't seen a Transporter. I haven't seen Crank.
Love Transporter. I love the first Crank. They're good films, man.
Yeah, I'm sure they're like good action films. I just never got around to them.
It's the same plot, same guy. He's always in the same roles, get to cast on the same roles.
Like, he's like the younger version of Liam Neeson. No. He's worse.
No.
Or he's more,
It's like a more girly centric. They want to, like, it's like if they made, if they took, Steven Seagal and, like, just put Statham's body on. It's like, let's get all the girls in this one, you know?
Yeah.
It's like you're trying to appeal to a girly audience, so you just rewire a freaking Seagal movie to be girly friendly, and that's what it is. But men like them too, so I don't know what this is about us.
All right.
Wait, there wasn't too many fighting scenes. I mean, it was a horrible plot, and I don't know why. I don't know why I went to go to see it.
Sounds like a wonderful time.
This sounds bad, dude.
It was a typical bad movie. But right. I told Jason, I'm like, you know what? Let me go see this. Nothing really out there. Catching. What is it called? Hunger Games.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Didn't we all see that?
Yeah, so we talked about that last week. But what did you think of it?
I told you, I think the first one's a lot better.
What was that?
The first one?
What about it?
Was a lot better.
I disagree.
I didn't see the first one, only a little bit. Only the tip.
I mean, they're almost even, but I enjoyed the second one more because now I'm fully invested, I guess, in the story. Or fully intrigued to see how the story plays out.
Right.
Now that we're closer to that.
I mean, another 3-hour movie.
2.5.
Yeah. I mean, it's some of the stuff didn't make sense, like we talked about over the phone. And at first, you didn't understand it.
I think a lot of what has to be made sense of is stuff that they'll get into with the next film. You know, because it ended on such a cliffhanger that You know, but I think a lot of those things will be explained once we get there to that part of the story.
Yeah.
So, Roy, you saw Gravity. Earlier.
My niece had to do a book report for Hunger Games, Catching Fire.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
She's, like, showing us, like, it's, like, a 5-page, like, presentation full of art. This is an art book. You know, she goes to a real artsy school. And she's showing us, like, after dinner. And she's flipping through the pages. And there's nothing, like, more heartwarming than seeing a little, like, fourth grader talk about revolution. It's so weird, you know. She's just like, yeah, and you know, her and her friends are you know, in part of revolution, you know, a plot of revolution. And I was like, oh man, that is so weird. So
you saw Gravity again.
I seen Gravity again, and I really like the film. Like, there's this portion, like, after we seen it, like, within that week, they said the Unagog, I think that's what she calls him, Unagog, talk to me, you know, like, she's talking to this guy that catches her radio static, and it sounds like he's talking back to her.
Yeah.
Like, and it sounds like static, and they're less like, and she's like, Mayday, Mayday, and like, Mayday, your name is Mayday. It's a film. Like, the whole thing is a film. It's like a 25-minute film that's done by, like, some Inuit people up north in Alaska.
Uh-huh.
And seeing it again, that portion was like, oh, it's just even better. You know, like, watching it was hard to watch. I was like, oh, it's heartstrings just tugging, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But seeing it again, knowing that it's an Inuit film and, like, knowing that it's an Inuit birth of, like, a birth ritual or something. And it was good. I mean, that was the only part that really spiked me seeing it again, because it's one of those films, when you know they're going to succeed, your brain just doesn't really put all the weight there, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
And still liked it. I like the Logan a lot now. Logan Theater is brilliant. That's plug nice. For the Logan Theater. Groupon's got a nice deal sometimes. We got we got two tickets and a popcorn, I think a drink for like $11.50.
That's so awesome.
That's pretty nice.
Right,
and I was like, what is that, a Saturday? F you, that's awesome. Yeah, it's not the same movie when you're not like heavily invested, but it was great seeing it again.
Cool.
Great.
I saw, the only movie I saw this week was, I rewatched Fargo last night with Cynthia.
Oh, no way!
Yeah,
has like, she seen it?
She hasn't seen any Coen Brothers films. So I need to start her somewhere. So I forced her to stay up and watch that with me. Another one of those two brothers force feeding her.
I was thinking about that earlier today. I was like, I don't know. I don't think I would be able to force someone to play a video game.
I forced her that night. It was terrible. She will never enjoy that game.
That's so funny. Like, no, I don't think I could see myself do that to anybody. Like, I've known...
I still have to force her to play Gone Home, but we'll do it at a proper hour whenever whenever I get around to that. Yeah, Fargo, she enjoyed it.
Fargo's a good one.
It's just a great movie. Captures, really, I guess, the people who live in Minnesota pretty well. I mean, I've never been there, so I don't know if they do that well of a job, but it feels like, you know, the characters and all that have life to them. And of course, just the story. The story just... where it goes and the things that happen is insane. It's based on real events, which, you know, makes it even cooler. So, really enjoy it. I need to see more of their films. I've only seen, like, No Country and Raising Arizona, Lebowski. Like, I haven't seen much of their films, so I need to get into them, get deeper into them. But, yeah, she enjoyed it, and, yeah, it's one of my favorites, so it was nice revisiting it, for sure.
Yeah, I remember No Country for Old Men was one of those big heading into the Blu-ray era movie.
Yeah.
Like, if you bought a Blu-ray device, No Country for Old Men was, like, the flagship. And it wasn't really one of those, like, yeah, you can see the mountains in the background, but it wasn't really.
It was very bare bones, I remember, the first time, the first DVD that came out. I'm not sure if they ever released one with more features, but I think I never bought it because of that.
You ever been a fan of their films, Chris?
I saw Fargo. It was a really good movie. I own it.
Heck yeah.
You seen No Country for Old Men?
Yeah, with Ja Rule?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It was really good.
That was good. I actually really enjoy Burn After Reading.
Heck yeah, man.
So fun. Oh. I did not get what that movie was going for when I first saw it and seen it again, that it's like trying to be this comedy but be super serious like about it. It's
what movie?
One of the most brilliant movies.
Burn After Reading. It's fantastic, Chris. You had it might be on Netflix.
Oh, though. You know what? Burn After Reading with Brad Pitt.
Yeah, George Clooney.
Yeah.
I saw it. I saw it.
Oh, man. What a film.
That's good.
Did you guys see anything else?
It's funny.
What is it? Should we get into TV land?
I'm done. So get your eye patches out because we're...
Oh, yes.
Time for our weekly discussion of Walking Dead, which will be the last one for quite a while. So, if you're not up to date on Walking Dead, I advise you to stop listening. We are going to get into heavy spoiler territory of Sunday's episode, which was the mid-season finale. So, what did you think of it, Roy? I saw it last night, finally. I was happy that Facebook did not ruin it for me. So, thank
you. How hard did you have to land? How hard did you have to hide?
I was hiding at first, so maybe if there was some initial spoilers, I guess I was already past that in my feed. And I was pretty much on Facebook Monday and Tuesday, and I didn't run into anything. So.
It was a damn eye patch, Chris.
Oh. Chris doesn't watch Walking Dead, but as long as he gets the eye patch on,
he should still get an eye patch on.
Yeah, I don't watch Walking Dead because I don't have cable, guys. Sorry.
You can download it.
On the internet.
Yeah, the internet's a powerful device, bro.
He looks just like the governor. Anyway, so what do you think, Ray?
Do you want, like, a rough first impression?
Yeah, whatever. However you want to go at it.
So I usually don't watch the episodes live at all.
Meaning,
like I miss the two screen experience, which I sometimes feel bad about. But I don't. I never do. So this time I was like, yeah, you know, season finale. I'm ready. Two screen experience. I'm gonna do this. Totally fell asleep. The commercials killed me. The commercials were the worst. I was just like, fell asleep and woke up, and I was probably at 10 minutes left. And I was like, nope, got to start again some other time.
Yeah.
So I did, like, not too long after, like, the episode was over.
Okay.
Let's get into this plot, I guess.
Okay.
There's a scene. There's a scene where the governor comes up to the gate, and they're going to discuss some real talk, right? Like, hey, Rick, we got some things to talk about. And Rick's like, all right, I'll go talk to him. Like, no fear, right? He goes up, no fear, right? No fear. He's just like, walks up to the governor.
I was fucking terrified. I mean, I know you're not going to kill Rick. It's Rick's story. But yeah. I was like, what is... Oh, I'm like, I was so scared. Yep. And there's like this foreboding music to play. And it just sets the tone.
So Rick is in front of a tank and the governor. Like, those are like the two worst things you can be in front of in the zombie apocalypse.
Yeah.
And he goes up to the governor and he starts a very Rocky II speech. If you remember Rocky II, Rocky II,
uh-huh.
It's Rocky Balboa has the famous line of, if you could change and I could change, everybody could change. And that's the whole senses of his whole damn speech.
Oh, no. I thought it was a phenomenal speech. I was so proud of him. And clearly, Herschel was so proud of him. Yeah.
Yeah. I had a Rocky moment, man. What can I say?
Okay. I guess I don't know enough about Rocky 2 for that moment to have been ruined. But, I mean, I enjoyed the episode.
It was fine. It's just like, you know, like, you start saying, like, I can change. And then you could change. It sounds like goddamn Rocky Balboa.
Yeah, for sure.
There ain't no helping that.
Yeah. I mean, it was a great episode, obviously. Man, it's like, you know, for two episodes, we were with the governor and whatever was going on with him. So as soon as we got back, I was excited, you know, for them to, you know, Daryl finally found it out that Carol's gone now. And then,
brutal.
Like them having to confront Tyrese about the whole Carol situation, and I was like, oh, I'm ready for this to go down. Governor shows up, it's like, all right, we're not going to take care of this till February.
Yeah.
So that was kind of like, yeah, I'm like, damn, I want this to be settled now. I want to see what's going to be the outcome of this. And then seeing it, you know, the governor show up, I was like, oh, man. So it was a little bit, not disappointing, but just aggravating, I guess.
You know, I didn't really, I don't think those two episodes really had me attached to the governor.
For sure.
But they didn't hurt. They didn't hurt because after seeing him go, it's just like, you know, I don't know, Stockholm Syndrome, I suppose. Just like, you know, I'm kind of sad to see him die.
For sure.
Yeah, he could have died at the end of season, what was it, 3?
Yeah.
But, everyone went apeshit on Facebook, everywhere, just everywhere, Tumblr, Twitter. Everyone just had a shitstorm after the end of season 3. And it was a fair warning. I think I had personal messages saying, like, this is going to suck. You should experience suck. I'm like, all right, that's a lot of warnings. That's a lot of warnings that it's going to suck. I watched it, and I was like, I'm glad he didn't die. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was a reasonable way for his character to leave. I mean, yeah, this having him come back, it felt like, oh, we need to do this. You can't just ignore the fact that he's out there.
I think it says something. I wish I wrote notes for this. There is something about doing a kamikaze attack like that, being that desperate, mm-hmm. and not having. Wanting any of Rick's friendship at all. But, you know, it's kind of expected of the governor, considering he couldn't work with, his buddy? His golfing buddy?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it does say something about him. He can't work with anybody that knows his past, so that is his thing.
Or even that, like, you know, is in that position of power. Like, he wants that ultimate position, clearly.
He can't deal with anybody even sharing his light.
But even the history that they had amongst each other, like, I didn't think that was... I mean, maybe from their side of it, it could have been a possibility, but from his side, I thought that was definitely not possible.
Yeah.
Which is where his character went, I guess. I mean, and I don't know, maybe it makes you feel cold, like sound cold-hearted, but I mean, Herschel's a great character. Seeing him go was terrible, but like, it's I didn't have an emotional reaction to his character dying.
It's because they killed his ass so brutally.
Yeah. I find it hard to, I mean, the only time I went through something emotional with a character dying was like one of the terrible characters dying, which was Merle last season. I thought they handled his death really well.
They made it poetic, though.
Yeah, for sure.
When he died, it was like fucking poetry.
Yeah.
Honestly, with those two characters dying in one episode, the Governor and Herschel, everything should have said I should have felt more emotional for Herschel's death. But I think it's sad to see such an enemy go. He isn't the best. He's been highlighted. We've watched him for two damn episodes and like what? Probably a whole season now?
Yeah.
Like added together, additive.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mind him. I don't know. Like I think it's watching two mediocre episodes with him that makes you like just sympathize with the devil, right?
Yeah. I'm sorry. I like keep cutting back to Chris and he's just sitting there with his eye patch on.
He looks good with his eye patch though. He looks like Snake. Oh, dude, there was that one episode where everyone was all miserable. Like, oh, that episode sucked with the Governor.
Emo Governor.
I was like,
the worst.
Dude, it was like watching Solid Snake, like, have a mediocre life. He was like, ugh, just hitting his back, and just continuing with his life.
Yeah.
It was like seeing a really, really miserable Solid Snake. It was great.
Yeah. I enjoyed it. What do you think happened with the baby?
I wouldn't be surprised if it was dead, but I think that sounds like too easy. I don't think the group can get off that easy. The baby's like their burden. It is their cross, and they're going to have to bear it. If the baby died, that's an easy segue just to drop the burden of taking care of a baby in the post-apocalyptic world.
Sure.
It's too easy to write her off so quickly. I'm hoping someone saved her, honestly. Yeah. I want to see them suffer.
There's a lot of blood. There's a lot of blood in that carriage.
They don't deserve for that baby to be dead now.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if that was just another heartstring, like, blow that they're just going for.
Yeah, so, I mean, I've, like, seen this, you know, I'm ready to get back into graphic novels, you know, which are...
Me too!
Which are totally different. Oh, route.
I hear this felt followed through with the comics more than any other.
Well, I mean, yeah, in the spoiler territory for the graphic novel. You don't mind, Roy?
I don't want to hear it.
You don't want to hear it?
Nope.
I'm not saying it then.
I'm on issue 18.
Yeah. So I mean, I'm ready to get back into that.
What issue are you on?
I mean, I have the compiled issues.
It's still an issue.
I have like 9 or 10, and I'm not sure how far those run to.
They usually put like 6 or 7.
I think they put like 5 issues together.
They tell you on the thing.
Yeah, I think they put about 5 issues together, so I'm probably
so
about
it sounds
45.
Like you're on like 45, okay.
Like, well, yeah. The section I got into for the graphic novels, I had just met the Governor.
Oh, nice.
So I know I'm not too far off. From this, you know, this prison.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this huge I'm on 12, and I'm nowhere in that series. I do want to get back into it. I really, really enjoyed seeing Carol's hard-ass training for the kids really pay off. That scene was the best for this episode.
That child acting is just, I hate the older daughter. Ah, oh, she's so brutal.
But don't you hate kid actors and kids in general?
No, I mean, I really liked, the Governor's adopted daughter.
Oh, she's not bad.
She was really good. Well, I mean, she was pretty good acting-wise. I didn't like the little girl's But, I mean, the moment where they do, you know, help out is definitely satisfying. If that, them helping out met them leaving a baby on the ground to get murdered by zombies, I don't think that should have happened, but...
No, that doesn't make sense either. You're right.
If it does go that route, yeah, it would be kind of like a half-assed way for them to get rid of the baby. But
blaming on the kids. It doesn't make sense.
And then,
sense,
they have to find Carol and put a bullet in her head, because if it wasn't for her training these kids, the baby wouldn't be dead. So
maybe they did get like all headstrong, saying we can save everybody. Why? Because they did in the film, right? I mean, the movie, I mean, the episode, at one point say, let's, what the hell are we doing? We should be helping.
For sure.
So, yeah, so it's true. I mean, the fact that Carol trained them made them abandon their childlike duties to protect children.
Well, there's four of them. Like, two of them could have took the baby to the bus.
Heck yeah!
The other two...
I really hope that's where they go.
Yeah, yeah. It's going to be a painful wait to February. Glad to see them leaving the prison. I haven't got anywhere, past that part in the novel, so
yeah,
I have no idea, where...
This is the best excuse to leave, or the best premise to leave the prison. I mean, it wasn't until seeing the prison blow up, just ridiculously, I realized I'm done with the prison, and they should all be done with the prison, too. They shouldn't, try to heal the wounds and go back to their prison life. Prison life has been hell, the disease... The attacks, two attacks by the governor.
Yeah.
I'm done with it.
Yeah. All right, well, yeah. So I guess that's the episode. You guys can follow us on... you guys can follow us on Facebook
what
or Twitter.
A jerk.
If you want to email us, you can email us at thefilmclugpodcast@gmail.com. Ask any questions or whatnot. You can read them on the show. Subscribe to us on iTunes, like us, all that good stuff. And have a good one.
Build a snowman. It doesn't have to be a snowman.
Oh, wait, Anna.
Okay, bye.
Wanna build a snowman or ride our bike around the halls? I think some company's overdue. I've started talking to the pictures on the walls. Hang in there, Joan. It gets a little lonely, all these empty rooms, just watching the hours tick by. Elsa, please, I know you're in there. People are asking where you've been. They say of courage, and I'm trying to. I'm right out here for you. Just let me in. We only have each other. It's just you and me. What are we gonna do? Do you want to build a snowman?
All right, so if you're still around, you're still around here. We're gonna get into a small old boy spoiler discussion. So, is there anything you want to talk about, Roy or Chris, involving spoilers of this film?
Let's get into the fact that how he meets her.
Yeah.
Versus the original.
Okay.
Because I thought that was of issue.
Yeah. So the original involves. It involves hypnotism, right?
Mm-hmm.
This one is when he first gets released, the Umbrella Girl kind of leads him in the direction of where Elizabeth Olsen's character, you know, is helping people out. So, I mean, that makes sense how she kind of they kind of orchestrated them meeting. But outside of that, I don't know, like, how she gets reintroduced into the story, I think, is really loose, you know? Like, you have his character go to his friend's Chucky's bar, ends up staying there, and sometime in the middle of the night, I guess he passes out from exhaustion, is what they explain it as, or what Elizabeth Olsen's character explains is that he's exhausted, that's why he passed out. Chucky picks up the phone, calls 911, sees a card in his hand, and decides to hang up the phone and call this woman instead to come help him out, right?
Mm-hmm.
That just seemed weird. That just seemed really strange. You know, it just seemed too convenient, first of all, that he passed out, and second of all, that he had her business card in his hand at the time that he passed out. Doesn't really make sense to me. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So that was a problem I had with the film. Like, from a logistical perspective, it just didn't really make sense, you know? And then, you know, the fact that they eventually have a relationship and they eventually sleep together, which is what makes it really screwed up, right?
Wincess.
Yeah, which makes it screwed up. But, like, in the original, I felt like they were trying their best to orchestrate them falling for each other, right?
Yeah.
And in this one, there was no, like, orchestration there. It felt like the fact that they slept with together just was something that ended up happening. And, oh, great, you know, great that this happened. It makes it even more screwed up, right? But then, you know, when the climax comes and this guy, Adrian Price, you know, reveals his ultimate, you know, this ultimate tale of revenge, he keeps telling Brolin, like, you know, you never asked a question why I let you out, right?
Right.
So then you're led to believe the reason why he let him out was for this to happen, right? For him to sleep with his daughter?
Right.
But he didn't do anything to orchestrate that from happening. Like, and it just seemed like a coincidence that they fell for each other. You know, he tries to give reasons. Oh, you know, she's a damaged soul, and he's damaged, so naturally she's going to be attracted to him, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But that was just a terrible way of explaining it. I don't know. All right, this is very one-sided. This is not fun.
You're right. I kind of felt the same because it kind of rushed, like you mentioned before.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of got rushed. But it was kind of an awkward meeting when she met him at the clinic or something, whatever it was, like a clinic or some kind of like, and it happened so fast, and then he kept like calling her and back and forth and asking her for help and all this stuff. So she just like stopped whatever she's doing just to help this guy.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just like, she doesn't know this guy. She just wanted like,
I mean, I definitely got the sense from her character, like, I mean, obviously, in the work that she does, she genuinely cares about people. So, you know, maybe she did, maybe it makes some sort of sense that she, you know, saw this guy who may be going through some stuff. But still, you know, just the way she gets introduced, it just feels really sloppy. It feels like it doesn't, and, you know, and that can't be sloppy. That has to be orchestrated, because that's the ultimate... That's the ultimate plan for this guy's revenge, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know. I just had big issues with that.
Wait, BRB. Sorry.
Yeah. Any other problems you had with it, Chris? Or spoiler gigs you want to get into?
Epic action scenes. I'm just
we're not like reviewing it anymore.
Oh, well, you know what?
Fucking jerk.
I don't know, going in, what else?
Ayo.
Chris doesn't have anything. Go ahead, Roy. He's still talking about epic action sequences.
Nice. Confession bear time. As good as my memory, I thought, was from Old Boy.
Oh no, you need to see this movie again.
I will. I don't remember that bad guy at all. Can you like re-jog my memory? I don't remember him.
He's just very flamboyant.
I don't remember him at all, dude.
He's bad. He's really bad, but I mean, like I said, I was able to make sense of it. But it's just, you know, it seemed like his part of the revenge was imprisoning him, and that was pretty much it. But, you know, but then he gets into the fact, like, oh, this was my plan, like, to get, you know, to somehow orchestrate them sleeping together so that he could understand who, like, the love that he had for his family, right?
Okay.
You know, which is where the film deviates. It's not only a brother loving a sister. Mm-hmm. It's a brother loving his sister, loving his father, loving his mother. They have sex together. It's suggested anyway. Well, that's definitely what's happening amongst his family.
Definitely.
And that gets taken away from him, whatever. So, I guess he wanted him to understand that love, I guess.
Mm.
But it just, like I said, it didn't feel like he orchestrated it whatsoever. Or he did anything to make that happen.
Yeah, I wonder, like, you know, you seen it again, then there's obviously, you didn't see any connection, so.
Yeah.
There is,
like, lines of dialogue that tries to do a job of explaining it. But it doesn't. Yeah. It does a terrible job. It doesn't make sense, even after, you know, seeing that.
Speaking of which, what's terrible that? Blurred lines. Did you read that Tumblr article I posted
about Thor?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Holy crap, man! What a crazy movie.
Too many words. Too much intellect.
I was telling my brother about it, and he was like, yeah, man, you give me acid, I'll tell you the story was like that, too. You know, like, it's just, it was so crazy. His explanation of the story was insane. Like, I'm literally going to see it again. Right now, there isn't a, I was hoping more theaters would release it this weekend, like, more of our local, like, Logan or Davis or something like that. Ain't nothing, so maybe I might wait for next week. Because I'm going to have to go to Regal otherwise. But I do want to see it again. Yeah. Holy crap, man.
Sure.
What a crazy film, dude. The Dark Elves weren't necessarily like, you know, they're, it's like, it's just,
oh,
like.
Oh, by the way, Logan's getting Thor this Friday, so.
Shut the fuck up.
Yep.
That's where I'm going. I'm going to see Thor.
He's also getting 12 Years a Slave.
Dude, I'm going to double feature. This sounds so good. My weekend's planned. Insane. Thanks, Logan. So,
thanks, Logan, for ruining my weekend.
So,
thanks.
Yeah, the whole plot was crazy. Like, I loved his take on, like, the blogger's account. He was saying, like, it is the most in-depth universe take of a Marvel film or a superhero film in general. So, you have the Asgardians, right? And he likes to take on a segue on, he thought, what the fuck's his name? The dude, that we all love. Loki. He thinks Loki is like this, he's the bleeding heart, Asgardians are doing something wrong in this universe, right?
Yeah.
He's like the political cartoonist for America, you know? Mm-hmm. He's like the guy that's saying, like, yeah, yeah, everything that we're doing isn't necessarily as cool as we all think it is, you know?
Yeah.
So Loki is the
Loki is the what?
He's like the whistleblower.
Yeah, yeah.
So this blogger says that Asgard has done some shit, you know? They put a whole fucking genocide on the Dark Elves, you know? They said they're not people that we should be dealing with anymore. And I guess in the movie, I didn't catch it, but they said the Dark Elves aren't necessarily dark because they're evil. They're dark because of the yin and yang thing. Like, they are, if Asgardians stand for light, like the light, then the Dark Elves are the dark. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, you know? Like, they have equal power. But Asgard, knowing what they are, they're a mighty force. Like, Loki apparently says at some point, like, we always do our way with the fist, you know, the fist and the death, you know? That's our people's way. And so you have this whole suicide mission by the end of the film. By the end of the film, the Dark Elves are literally, they know they're going to die. They just got awoken from a genocidal, like, mind fuck, and they got frozen in place and time.
Yeah.
And they're coming from this, like, this death and destruction. Like, all our people were dying, but we got frozen for some odd reason, and someone woke us up. And they said, well, fuck it. Let's see what we can do. And literally, it is their death wish. And to realize the whole fucking half of the movie is literally their death wish? They're already done. They're done as a species. They're done as a people. They're on their last leg, and they're fighting.
That's a really good point, bro.
This guy fucking is like, no, that's not what that movie.
That's what the movie is about.
It's going for.
It's not what it's going for.
That is totally what Thor was about, man. I'm telling you. You gotta look past all the fucking blurred lines.
You're giving those, that film crew way too much credit.
That's what they were doing. I'm telling you. That's what happened. It happened. We seen it. We just like.
Roy, are you going to see the movie again?
I'm going to. At the Logan. You want to come?
It's another 3-hour movie. I'm tired of 3-hour movies.
Yeah, I'm probably going to see that. And probably 12 years later, I'm probably going to do a double feature. Go suck it.
Well, have fun, bud. Have fun with that. All right. Bye, guys.
Later.